The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
First, officially welcome all of our Facebook Live audiences. If this is your first time joining us, again, I'm Ricky Scaparella, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines, and this is End Time Headlines. We welcome you to tonight's subject, in which we will be dealing with when Christ separates the sheep and the goat nations. Again, when Christ separates the sheep and the goat nations. And that's what we're going to be delving into tonight. So we got a little bit of we've got one image for this entire message. The rest is scripture. So that way you can follow along with this. But we're going to bring it up here. Again, if this is your first time joining us, please let us know below under the Facebook Live comments. Under the live comment section, if this is your first time, just type in "I'm new" or "first time to the broadcast" or "new to the broadcast," whatever it is, that we may acknowledge that you are new to the broadcast, and we want to formally welcome you. Again, if this is your first time on YouTube, we welcome you guys as well, and of course, all of our podcast audience as well. So again, tonight, as you can see here on your, at least for you guys that are have a visual here, you see sheep and goats. In the scripture, in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, the Lord talks about separating sheep from goats, and that's what we're going to get into tonight. And I'm going to pull up I normally don't do this. But I'm gonna pull out a New Living Translation of Matthew 25. I've got, and that's where we're gonna go. Matthew 25. You're gonna see the scripture come up right on your screen. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Now, again, I put the scripture up here so that you guys can read whatever translation that you like. Personally, I have two translations that I always default to, and that is King James and New King James. And every now and then, like tonight, I'll read from a New Living Translation, a New Living Translation. And that's what we're going to get to right now. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Again, Matthew 25, 31 through 46. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will set upon his glorious throne all the nations. And that's important to highlight this or underline this. All the nations. This is not dealing with an individual, but it's dealing with all the nations. So you want to highlight that. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people of the nations as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." And then the righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are doing it unto me." And then the king will turn to those on the left and say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal or everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And the New Living Translation says, "The fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was thirsty and you did not give me drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And then the Lord will reply, Lord, and then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not help you? And the Lord will answer, I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are refusing to help me. I'm going to pull up this image here just for the sake of the book of Jude. This is in the book of Jude, chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. Jude 1, 14 through 15. This is kind of goes right along with Matthew chapter 25. Again, guys, I apologize for the issues there on the live broadcast. Again, all this will be edited out of the podcast and on YouTube, so you won't see that. This is what it says. Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. And I'm going to pull up another Bible. I've got several Bibles that I read from and that I can just follow along with you guys in the event that something like this was to happen. So this is Jude 1, 14 through 15. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them all, their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Now, I want you to notice something here in the book of Jude, and that is the fact that Jude speaks of, again, he mentions Enoch prophesying, and I pointed this out before, you will not find anywhere in the scriptures where Enoch prophesied. Only time you hear about Enoch is in the book of Genesis, when Enoch walked with God and was not, and for he was taken by God. But nevertheless, Jude mentions that Enoch prophesied. It says here that he prophesied. That's, to me, that's very interesting. And he alludes to, again, this is in Jude 1, 14 and 15. He alludes here that the Lord comes out of heaven with 10,000s of his saints, and he executes judgment upon all and convict all who are ungodly among them all of their ungodly deeds in which they've committed. So these go parallel with what the Gospel of Matthew wrote here, or what Matthew wrote in his Gospel, where he said that, again, when the Lord, what did he say here? He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and with all of his holy angels with him, he will sit and he will begin to judge and separate nations before him, as a shepherd divides sheep from goats. And it's interesting here, when you study this, the Lord will sit in a place called the Valley of Jehoshaphat, which is located in Jerusalem, which would, in today's terms, be called the Kidron Valley. And this is where, in the future, he will judge the nation, separating again them from as sheep from the goats and wheat from tares. Now, let me show you another verses of Scripture. Matthew 13, 24 through 30. Let me turn here first. Matthew. Because I'm going to pull it up here on the screen so you guys can follow with me. Matthew 13, 24 through 30. If you want to follow along with me here. And we'll pull, again, the scripture up so you guys can follow along. Matthew 13, 24 through 30. Let me minimize this, and I'm going to pull this up for you guys right here to be able to follow along with me. All right, so that's what you're going to see there. And this is what he says. Again, that'll be coming up on your screen. Jesus, again, He speaks in a parable, but this goes right along and dovetails off of the scripture we just read here. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said unto them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said unto him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them.' Now listen to this next part. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, and gather the wheat in my barns." So this is very interesting here. And then on another gospel writer actually writes, in his gospel, "So shall it be at the end of the age." I want to say that again. "So shall it be at the end of the age." What shall be at the end of the age? Again, notice he says here, and he goes on and explains that the field represents the world. The wheat represent the sons of the kingdom, and the tares represent the sons of the devil. And the Lord says, while we're here waiting for the return of the Lord, who's going to come back and separate all, he's going to straighten out all this mess. Until then, what does he say here? He says, let them grow together. It's inevitable. Listen, guys, there is wheat and tares in your church. There's wheat and tares in every nation. There's wheat and tares in your family. There's wheat and tares in every situation. He says, let them grow together until the harvest. What is the harvest? The end of the age. Remember in the book of James? Remember where James says, see how the husbandman waits, and see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth so he can receive the former and the latter rain. So what the harvest here represents, again, the end of the age. And he says, let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers. Now you go to the book of Matthew 24, and he tells you who these reapers are. These are these angels that are sent. And I will gather together the tares and bind them into bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. You got to go again. This goes back to this law of first mention. When John the Baptist was baptizing into Jordan, what does he say? He says, he talks about Jesus. He said, he who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose straps are sandal straps I'm not worthy to tie. He says, he is gathering his wheat into the barn. That's what he says. And he'll gather up the tares and those who don't bear fruit, and he will throw them into the fire. This is a reference to hell. This is a reference to the burning lake of fire at the end of it all. When the Antichrist is tossed in there, the beast is tossed, the false prophet's tossed in there, and all whose names are not found in the Lamb's book of life, they will be tossed into the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. So don't miss it. This is what we're dealing with here. Okay? So this is why Jesus emphasized in Matthew 24, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about, we live in a time where we are among sheep and we're among goats. Who's going to separate? Now, listen, there is times, and I have preached this as a dual application before in Matthew 13. Because Matthew 13, 24 through 30, in its proper context, in its literal interpretation and its literal context, is speaking of an end time separation of sheep and goats and wheats and tares. But it can also be applicable to a present tense situation. In other words, let's say you've got a church and you've got goats in your church and you've got sheep in your church. Again, you've got goats and you've got sheep. You've got wheats and you've got tare in your church. Well, how are we supposed to deal with these? Here's how you do it. You put it in the hands of the Lord. You pray, you intercede, you fast, you ask God to expose, you ask God to make manifest those tares, make manifest those goats among the congregation, those ones that are the troublemakers, those ones that are sowing discord, those ones that are causing a rift in the church, those ones that are causing dissension, those ones that are destroying the church from within. God himself, by the Holy Spirit, through your prayer, through your intercession, through your fasting, and corporately gathering together, it will bring to light and bring them to manifestation those sheep and those goats and those wheats and those tares. And God himself, you watch, God himself will step into your church and he will run them off. He will put it in their hearts for them to go their separate ways. He will step in and always make manifest those individuals again that are the troublemakers, the those that are sowing discord and division and strife again. And I call them the goats and the tares in the congregation. So now I want to pull up in reference to Matthew 25, our opening passage, Matthew 25, 31, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory with his holy angels with him, he will sit on his throne of glory and all nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate again, sheep from goats and those on his right and those on his left. Again, where there is the law of first mention of this is actually found in the book of Joel. And I'm going to turn there, the book of Joel, chapter 3. Again, this is Joel chapter 3, and I'll put up the scripture in just a second when I find it here. And this is all because my tablet was not able to pull up, so it caught us off guard, and we deal with that sometimes. So let me pull this up for you guys. I want to make sure you see this passage of scripture. So you can follow along with me. This is again, Joel chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Joel chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Beat your plowshares into your swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come all you nations. And gather together all around. Now remember, where is this going to happen? He's going to tell us here. Assemble and come all you nations and gather all together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Why? He tells you right here in the last passage. For there I, the Lord speaking, will set to judge all the surrounding nations. All. That includes, yes, that includes the United States of America. I hate to tell you that, but that includes, again, the United States of America. Now, I want to read a little bit more here. I want to show you some more scripture here. And again, this is the next few verses here. Joel 13. We just read, we stopped at verse 12. Now I want to read on in verse 13 13 through 16. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Now remember, there's that word harvest again. And we just, again, we referenced that in Matthew, what was it, 13. The harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the wine press is full. Now, you've heard me teach on this before. When you talk about the wrath of God, when the wrath of God is poured out, it is usually when the wine press of the cup, he talks about the wine press of the cup of the wrath of God is full, then his wrath is poured out. That's what you see in the book of Revelation in the 7-year tribulation. So here we have a harvest mentioned, a wine press is full. You have nations being gathered together in the intent to be judged. Listen to what he says. The vats overflow. Look what it says right there. For their wickedness is great. So here you go. What does this mean? It means there's a Hebrew word here, judgment, meaning the wrath is about to be poured out. Verse 14, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark. That sounds familiar. Oh, that's right. That's in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, Joel 2, 28 through 30. The sun and moon will grow dark. The suns will diminish their brightness. And the Lord will also roar from Zion, that's Jerusalem, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Isn't that powerful, guys? Again, that's talking about this judgment day mentioned in Matthew 25, when the Lord comes back with his angels and he judges the nations and he separates them as a sheep does, or as a shepherd does a sheep and a goat, and sheep and goats. All right. Now I want to go back and I want to show you something out of Matthew 25 that I thought was interesting. There's something interesting that I want you to take notice of here that is in Matthew 25 that is directly correlated with how these nations will be judged. Okay, here it is. All right, Matthew 25. Again, you can go back to the opening passage of this and you're going to find all this in here. Here it is. I was hungry and you gave me food. Now, again, this can have a dual application. On an individual basis, we will be judged what we did for others. Yes. But again, in context of scriptural context, he's dealing with who? Nations. I was hungry and you as a nation gave me food. I was thirsty and you as a nation gave me drink. I was a stranger and you as a nation took me in. I was naked and you as a nation clothed me. I was sick and you as a nation visited me. I was in prison and you as a nation came to me. Now, why do I keep saying as a nation? Because again, in proper contextual scriptural context, he's dealing with nations. And I, again, this is very fascinating to me when I was putting this study together, that how these nations treated people directly resulted in either blessing or judgment. When a nation blessed the hungry, blessed the poor, blessed the naked, blessed the orphans, blessed the widows, blessed the sick, and visited those that are in prison, the Lord blessed them and prospered them and counted those nations as sheep nations. This, in my opinion, is why I believe, even though our nation as America has done some grievous things in the sight of the Lord, we have passed laws that are abominable in his sight. We have shed innocent blood. we have done many things in the sight of the Lord, which is detestable, and it's considered to be an abomination, and things that he detests and things that he hates. And I believe selective judgment has fallen and has come in cycles and in seasons and in times in the lifespan of America as we know it. But I believe that mercy has been extended to America and has been exceeded to America because our nation has been so generous. Our nation feeds the poor. It feeds the naked. It feeds the hungry. It feeds the widows. It helps the orphans. It shelters people. We have so many organizations when there's disasters, even in America and outside of America, who are the first ones that comes to the aid of people and disasters? It's America. So again, I believe it's a law and a principle that God set in motion. His word says, those who bless the poor will be blessed of the Lord. Those who extend their hand to the poor will be themselves be blessed. That's what the word of God says. But those who shut up their ears from the poor, even themselves will be in need. And again, that's why I believe America has been spared of many things that we should have been wiped out years ago. But we've been blessed as a nation. We've been favored as a nation. And the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And in verse 40 of Matthew 25, he says, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it as one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. All right. And then what is the next? Remember in verse 41, he says, and then I will say unto those on my left hand. Now, these are the goats. Depart from me, you cursed. Now, he's talking to who here? Nations. You cursed nations, depart from me into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Guys, that is, I don't know about you, but that puts the fear of God in me. We're talking, whole nations will go into hell on the account of how they treated people and whether or not they could. When you study Sodom and Gomorrah, we just read the account of Genesis and we think that God came and destroyed and smote Sodom and Gomorrah because of sexual abominations that took place in the cities of the plains. No, if you go to the book of Ezekiel, he tells you there was other sins besides that. And listen, some of these were, they had an abundance of bread. They had an abundance of idleness, fullness of bread. They did not extend their hand to the poor. These are some of the sins that Sodom and Gomorrah was guilty of, and they were judged for. They did not feed the poor. They had an abundance or fullness of bread. In other words, they had enough, they had plenty, but they had the me mentality, the self-entitlement mentality. It was all about me and not helping my neighbor, not helping the poor, not helping the widow, not helping the orphans, not helping those in need. And they had an abundance of idleness. In other words, laziness. No one worked anymore. Oh, I could really preach on this right now and make a lot of folks mad. Listen, it's real easy to say we should keep everything locked down when you're getting a paycheck every 2 weeks from the government or every month. When you're getting a check, sure, it's easy to stay home. Sure, it's easy to stay locked in your house. Sure, it's easy to agree that we should not go back to work when you're getting a paycheck every month, and you're getting food on the table and you're getting groceries, but you go and talk to the individual who is not getting a check, they're not getting an income, and they're not being able to put food on the table. Why do you think people are making drastic decisions right now in certain states, and they're risking everything? It's not because they're trying to be defiant. It's because they have no choice but to feed mouths that are hungry and keep a roof over their head. So again, an entire, the cities of the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah were wiped off the face of the earth for this very thing. These were some of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he will say unto those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, brother, I don't know about that. That is, you know, that's a lot of that's Old Testament. And I just don't see, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, I don't see him doing something like that. Well, I'm going to show you something from Matthew chapter 11. Let me pull up a scripture, and I should have a slide for this one too, to pull up this scripture. Matthew 11, 20. Here we go. Matthew 11, 20 through 24. Look at this. This is, by the way, this is Jesus speaking. And it's in reference to judgment that's coming. Listen to what he says. This is Matthew 11, 20 through 24. And then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe unto you, Chorazin! Woe unto you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, listen to this, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment. There it is. That's, here it is again. In the day of judgment, than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. You see that? There again, all this is in conjunction with one another. The lake of fire, the place that burns forever, tares that will be gathered together like sticks and be thrown into the fire. All these are references to hell, Hades, the everlasting torment, fire, lake of fire. All these in the end is going to be going to the same path here. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be, not will be, not is going to be, not is happening, not present tense of the day that it was written, future tense. But I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. And again, he speaks this in Matthew 11, 20 through 24. Now, some of you already know this because you've heard me preach on this, but these three cities are interesting because I've told you, we've kind of broke this down. We see now that nations are going to be judged on how they treat people, whether or not they help people, feed people, clothe people, shelter people, et cetera, and et cetera. Matthew 25, Matthew 13. But I'm going to dig deeper today. I'm going to peel back another layer here, and I want to show you these three cities here and what they mean in the Greek, the word. And I'm not going to, some of you have heard me preach on this, and I did an entire hour message on this, and I'm not going to do that for sake of time. But I do want to bring out some interesting stuff here. The word, he says, woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto you, Bethsaida, and woe unto you, Capernaum. These names of these cities in Greek mean stuff. They're not just, when you read names of cities in the Bible and names of individuals in the Bible, they all had meanings. They all had a meaning behind it. For example, The name Chorazin in Greek means a furnace of smoke. And I brought this out before. A furnace is an enclosed structure in which heat is produced. Smoke is the indication of fire. Thus, where there is or where there was fire, there will also be smoke and ashes. So what am I trying to say? When you put the word Chorazin together, again, a furnace of smoke, or in other words, it is an enclosed structure that produces smoke. It's an enclosure, or it's a habitation of something that is producing something that is the remnants of something that once was. My goodness, some of y'all is going to get this, some of y'all ain't going to get it. What good is a furnace when there's no fire? Smoke attracts attention to the fire. Smoke draws you to a fire. When you do SOS signals with smoke, it sends out signals of smoke. Let me bring it home for you. We have churches across America today that have allowed the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn out and are now operating out of smoke and ashes rather than continual fire. When the fire goes out, they become nothing but an echo or a house or an enclosure of what once was and not what is. Matthew 25 says that all the virgins were asleep. And it's a picture of the church in the last days that will be completely asleep. Remember, I told you in Matthew 13 that it says, while men slept, the enemy comes and sows tares in the field. You cannot put tares in a field unless the occupants of the field are sound asleep. That tells me, prophetically speaking, the closer that we get to the end of the age and the harvest and the Son of Man returning with his angels to sort out this mess, the more and more the church is going to fall into apostasy or go into a deep sleep, and they are not awakened to the things of the Lord, awakened to the Holy Ghost and the move of God and the fire of God. Whew. In other words, they will begin to operate, communicate, and facilitate out of what God used to do, and they will no longer facilitate or make room for or provision for what God wants to do or what he is doing. They will not be able to produce any burning flame, but will operate out of ashes and smoke. The priests in the Old Testament were commanded to remove the ashes every day and keep the fire burning. Man, I felt the convicting power of the Holy Spirit right there when I said that. Because that, I'm telling you, that hits us right between the eyes. How many times have we made excuses? Well, I read the Bible yesterday. I read the Bible last week. I already know a lot of scriptures. I can quote scriptures. You know, when we get to that point, guys, you know what we're doing? We are relying on smoke and ashes and testifying of our own relationship with him that we don't need any fresh fire anymore because we are settled or we are content with ashes and with smoke. Lord, help me not to ever be content with ashes and smoke. I don't want to ever become something that attracts people and draws them in, but then when they get to me, I don't have any substance to give anybody. Come on, somebody. We need a nation. We're talking about nations, right? We need a nation that is on fire for the Lord. We need and I know there's going to be goats, and I know there's going to be tares, but I want a nation that is known for revival, a nation that's known for helping the poor, helping the widow, helping the orphans, and doing the works of the Lord. God forbid that America would stand before the Lord and hear, "Depart from me, you wicked nation." That would be absolutely tragic. All right? I'm going to skip over some of this. Woe unto you, Chorazin. Woe unto you, Bethsaida. Bethsaida. You know what this means in the Greek? This is phenomenal. It means a house of fish. A house of fish. Luke 14, 23. And then the master said unto the servant, go ye into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Jesus looked at Peter and he says, no longer will you fish for fish. You will be a fisher of men. Men represent fish. Fish represent men. A Bethsaida was known to be a house of fish. All right. Listen to this. We have churches today that are filled with fish. We don't have a problem getting fish in the church. We have every attraction you can. We've got every bait you can use out there to get them into the church. We've got fog machines. We've got sound systems. We've got good looking people. We've got programs. We've got entertainment. We've got sports activities, and we've got everything under the sun to get them and attract them and draw them and lure them into the church to get. We can fill the churches and the house with fish, but where we're dropping the ball is we're not making disciples. We have fish that have no discipleship. They have no knowledge of the word. They have no root in themselves. They have no prayer life. They have no relationship with God. They have no testimony, no witness, no fervency, no passion for God. We have masses of fish and believers and schools of fish, but there's no unity. 1 Corinthians 4:15, Paul said, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you don't have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I've begotten you through the gospel. Listen, we filled our seats and our pews and our churches. We filled them with entertained and spiritually fat fish. Excuse me, believers. We've come to a time when we're more concerned with filling our baseball teams with fish, our golf teams with fish, recreational slots with fish, rather than getting back to the basics of the gospel. What did he say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel, healing the sick, clothing the poor, feeding the poor, clothing the naked, reaching the lost. Okay? This is what we're talking about. Again, Jesus didn't come out and just rebuke these cities. There's a deeper, we're going deep. We're taking a deeper layer of understanding of why did he rebuke these cities? We have churches that have mastered and polished programs and formulas to fill the buildings to capacity with fish, but there's no impact on the community, no impact on the cities or the nation. Where is revival? All right. So I put this in my notes. Again, I preached this before, and I'm going to say it again. We have two types of fish in the church today. Those that are being pulled by the current and those swimming against the current. Let me say that again. There's two types of fish in the church today. Those that are being pulled by the current and those that are swimming against the current. Which one are you? Are you being lured by the current? You're going with the masses. You're going with the culture. You're going with what's popular. You are swimming in the school of what's popular Christianity today. It probably don't look like the early church. It probably don't sound like the early church. It probably doesn't operate like the early church. There's probably not signs, wonders, and miracles like the early church. But you know what? But we've got a pond filled with fish. We've got a lake and it's filled with fish. Look how pretty the fish are. Look how full it is. Come and look at it. But we're not impacting anybody. We're not impacting our communities. We're not raising the dead. We're not helping. We're not casting out devils. We're not doing the Great Commission. Or are you one of the remnant that are swimming against the current? Are you a salmon today? And you're swimming, you feel like you're swimming upstream. Everybody's going downstream and you're going upstream. Perhaps the church you're in is doing everything downstream. They're doing things that you can't find in the Bible. They're preaching things that you can't find in the Bible. They're doing things that grieve you. They know how to get the fish into the church. They know how to attract the masses. They know how to put on a show. They know how to put on entertainment. But there's no sound, fundamental doctrine. There's no signs, wonders, and miracles. There's people not being healed, people not being delivered. Come on, somebody. There's not an altered, changing transformation in the church. And you're saying, I see everybody going downstream, but it seems like, brother, I am swimming upstream. Well, guess what? You are in good company, because this is the path that you need to be going in. What did Jesus say? He said, wide and broad is the path that leads to destruction. And many thereby will be in it. Many will be in this wide and broad path that will lead to destruction and hell. But narrow and compressed will be the way unto eternal life, and few be that find it. Are we not there, friends? When Jesus spoke of John the Baptist, he asked his disciples, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? He said, did you go out and see a man in soft garments? He said, no. John was opposing the system. John was swimming upstream when everybody else was going downstream. Why do you think he was out in the wilderness? Why do you think he was down by the Jordan of the river? Because he was not welcomed in the norm of the churches, of the society, of what was popular then. Because his message was therefore of repentance and not of conformity. Listen, guys, if you've not seen the movie or the series Chosen, I love how they did this whole segment on Nicodemus. It is by far, for me, it is my favorite part of the entire first season of the Chosen series. And it homes in on Nicodemus. And I don't want to ruin it for you, so I'm not gonna do a spoiler here by elaborate on it. But if you've not seen it, you need to go watch it and you'll know exactly what I mean. Nicodemus understood. Listen to me. Nicodemus understood why everybody was going downstream, and something on the inside of him was saying, I know everybody's going downstream, but I got to go upstream, because what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, what I'm recognizing, what I'm beholding, what I'm touching, what I'm feeling is the Messiah. It is the new wineskin. It is what God is in now. And it's where and it may be uncomfortable, but this is where I want to go. And you need to watch that. So again, woe unto you, Bethsaida. Woe unto you, Chorazin. Now, and then he says, woe unto you, Capernaum. And in Greek, oh, come on, somebody. The word Capernaum means a village of comfort. How ironic that the gospel of Jesus Christ was never meant to be established in comfort. It was the gospel that you and I hear, the gospel that we read in the Bible, was never supposed to be a gospel of comfort. We're not supposed to be comfortable. We're not supposed to remain comfortable in our walk with God, in our relationship with God. If we're in a place where we're comfortable, where we're lazy, where we're content, and we don't want to be stretched, we don't want to be pulled, we don't want to be left uncomfortable, we don't want to be challenged, we don't want to go deeper, we don't want to stretch our faith, then friends, we have entered into a village, if you would, of comfort. the word comfort, by definition, means a state or a situation in which you are relaxed and do not have any physically unpleasant feelings caused by pain, heat, or cold. A satisfying or enjoyable experience, a place of ease. And I'm going to tell you something. The older you get, the more comfortable you want to be. Oh, you didn't hear me. You don't want to hear me tonight, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say it again. The older you and I get, the more at a place of comfort and ease that we want to remain in. We don't want to shake the boat. We don't want to change. We don't want anything new. We don't want anything that stretches us out of our realm of comfort. We want the ease. We want the comfort. We want to be relaxed. We want routine. We want structure. We want normal. We want normalcy. We want identifiable. We want everything there that can be predictable. We all have routines that are predictable, and we don't want to be shaken or disrupted from out of that ease. Kind of sounds like a church that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 3 called the Church of Laodicea. And the Lord rebukes this church and he says, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have no need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you, to buy from me gold refined in a fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, and this is where I want to leave this, I want to leave our message tonight with this last passage of scripture in Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 through 20. This is where I want to leave it. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door, and that's the door of your heart, and knock. Friend, can you hear him knocking on the door of your heart tonight? He says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door. And by the way, the doorknob is on the inside of the door and not the outside. If Jesus can open the door of your heart and come willfully into your heart, then he would have not said, I stand at the door and knock. Oh, some of y'all's getting that revelation tonight. Think about it, friend. The doorknob is on your end, not his end. He's knocking at the door, but it's your choice whether to open the door and let him in. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him. Your King James says, and sup with him, and he with me. Friend, did you know that the Lord is knocking at your door through the Holy Spirit? He wants to come in. He wants you to let him in, and he wants to come in and live in you and through you. But you have to give him the permission to do that. You, on the inside, you have to open that door, let him in. So that's where I want to leave it tonight. That's where I want to leave it tonight. We've got a few things I want to share with you. We're going to pray, of course, and you're going to see some information pop up here on the screen. Let's go ahead and just pray. Usually we do these announcements and then we pray, but I don't want to take away from what the Holy Spirit's doing right here. Father, I thank you for every individual under the sound of my voice tonight. Lord, this is a serious thing here that nations will be judged, and they will be judged based on how they treat people and how they've treated the poor and the naked and the wretched, those that are in prison, those that are hurting, those that are destitute. Lord, we're going to be judged that. But not only are we going to be judged based on out of Matthew 25, Matthew 13, on how we treated people, but we are also going to be treated on how we treated this gospel. Did we treat this as a trivial thing? Did we seek out a gospel that was one of comfort? When you said in your word, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow after me. Lord, you said that if a man is not willing to lay down his life, if he's not willing to say goodbye to family, friends, lands and houses and possessions, then he's not worthy to even follow after you. And Lord, this is a self-evaluation tonight. And God, I'm asking that, Father, we don't live in a time of comfort and ease and relaxation. And that we're not just, and to every pastor, preacher that's listening tonight, if our motive is just to fill our churches with fish and fill them up with people and not disciple them or equip them or help them, then, Father, our motives are wrong. And God, forgive us for that. If we become a comfort of a village of comfort, then forgive us, O Lord. If we're going through the motions, if we become ashes and smoke and our lives are not burning, we're not letting our lamps burn for you and the oil flow from us, then Father, we repent tonight. Help us to repent and get back on track, fill our lamps with oil, trim our wicks, put the fire back in us, and burn for you like never before in this hour in Jesus' name. That's my prayer for me. That's my prayer for you and your household tonight in Jesus' name. And I want you to receive that tonight. If you're not right with God, friends, he's knocking at your door. Answer that call. Repent of your sins. He's zealous for you. He's chasing after you. Repent and come back to him and get right with the Lord. Endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's what you see right there on YouTube, on Facebook Live. That's going to be our main website. You can find us again, endtimeheadlines.com, endtimeheadlines.org. Both of those locations are going to lead you to the same location. And we encourage you to subscribe. Go there, go to our main website, subscribe to our daily digest so that you can get our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective sent to you by a daily digest. It comes one time a day. If you've not yet subscribed to our podcast, what are you waiting for? It's free. It is on podcasts on Apple and it is on Spotify. You guys on Facebook Live, please go subscribe to our podcast. It is free. It is there at your convenience. You can do that. Again, it is at Apple, it is at Spotify, and if you go to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, you're going to see a place up there where it says podcast. You can also find our podcast at our official ETH app. Again, this is a free app. There is absolutely no excuse for you not to get something free. Everybody wants something free. My goodness, we have the generation of entitlement and free. Everybody wants something free. So here you go. No strings attached. Free. It's not a monthly subscription. Nope. It's not a one-time purchase. Nope. It's free. Go to Apple. Go to the Google Play Store. Get your ETH app. All you got to do is type in End Time Headlines. You should see it there. You guys on Facebook Live, if you go up to the description over there under Facebook Live, under the description, there's a link right there. It says Android app and Apple app. There's a link. You just click on it. It's as simple as that. It's going to take you straight to the URL, to the location, the landing place. There you can download the free app and get it free. And when you get that, as you can see there in that picture, you're going to have that. You're going to have it right there on your phone or on your tablet. And you're going to see a location there at the very bottom where you can watch these messages like this, or you can listen by podcast right there on the bottom. You can browse through our daily headlines right there, every one of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Also, at the bottom right of that app, you can give to our ministry. There is where you can support our ministry. If you'd like to support us with a one-time gift, or if you'd like to become a monthly partner, whatever the case may be, We want to encourage you to do that. And you can do that again at endtimeheadlines.org or on the app, however you, whatever way you're watching this as well. You guys on Facebook Live and listening by podcast, you guys, at least on Facebook Live, you're going to see right there coming up on your screen. That is our YouTube channel. If you've not subscribed to it yet, I want to encourage you to do that again. End Time Headlines, you just type that in and you're going to see those are all of our latest headlines are going to come up there. When you click on that, subscribe to our YouTube channel. There you're going to find all of our archived messages. Again, you guys on podcast, go to YouTube, click, type in End Time Headlines. You're going to see our End Time Headlines banner. You're going to see our logo there. You're going to see myself there on our image with other images and everything on that banner. So again, we want to encourage you to do that as well. And again, guys, as always, we appreciate your monthly support, your one-time gifts, your partnership, your letters of encouragement, your prayers, your support to this ministry. We always encourage you to plug into our ministry, help us to do what we do. Guys, if it was not for what you do, if it was not for your monthly support, your partnership, your giving, your support to this ministry, we would not be able to do what we're doing. I do have exciting news that is in the process. I cannot announce this right now. It's not yet time. But when it comes time, we will make this announcement. I'm excited to make this announcement. It's been a long time coming. It's been in the process. And when it gets time to announce that, we will do that. And we're going to take a lot and we're going to be requesting prayer from you. It will be inevitable. It will be essential that you guys will have to pray for us because this is a huge transformation but transition that is in the making. And I'm excited about that. So again, I want to thank you for jumping on here to the broadcast on this Tuesday. We will probably be not on here tomorrow, but we'll be back on here on Thursday or Friday. And I've got a segment coming up from a blog post that we shared today. It was an article that came out of Charisma, and it inspired me to do a message that we've done before. But again, every now and then we pull these up again because we have a whole lot of new faces that come on here, and we want to give a word of encouragement with that. So we'll talk about that probably on Thursday or Friday, more likely to be on Thursday. Then we may come back on Friday and do something else on Friday as well. So we love you guys. God bless you. Again, thank you for taking the time to come out and listen to these broadcasts or watch these broadcasts. And we'll see you again on Thursday. God bless.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.